Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
In the South, it's always college football season, and the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
It was weird when Kevin Sumlin did it. Now it's kind of normal. It is the Chuck Oliver Show live on a Tuesday from Harris Cherokee in Cherokee, North Carolina. That's right. We are live from the book, the live sports wagering facility here at Harris Cherokee in Cherokee, North Carolina. Walk to the window. You got the kiosk. Bet every game you want. Collegiate pro wagering. It's all right here. We are broadcasting on our home away from home again, Harris Cherokee in Cherokee, North Carolina. We also broadcast from Harris Valley River over yonder in Murphy, I don't know, about an hour away or so, hour 15 maybe. So just good times here, and this is where we are going to be today. I said it was weird when Kevin Sumlin did it. Now, it was weird how he debuted with, what did he debut with? Was it 12 wins? Double-digit wins, a Heisman, and beating Alabama in Tuscaloosa. But I'll just take the dub, but in Tuscaloosa, that's one more point for Kevin. Tremendous. He also showed up at Media Days with a player who had never taken the field. I mean, one snap at Texas A&M. Okay, that got most everybody's attention. And that was Trevor Knight, late of Oklahoma, who, as a freshman, had beaten Alabama himself, loses the job, great kid, going to transfer, graduate, off he goes to Texas A&M. Here's what I knew about Trevor Knight. He was not that great of a quarterback. As far as standing in the pocket and delivering the ball downfield. What he did as a freshman against Alabama that night, God bless the kid. I mean, I was about to say the man. He was 18. God bless that kid. It was, you know, everybody who plays sports, no matter what level, if you play high school baseball, everybody has their best night ever, their best game ever, my best tournament ever. Well, he had his best night ever, and it happened to be in a place like New Orleans against a team like that. And then he transferred. And in his, I believe it was just one season in College Station, as I recall, the numbers don't wow you, but if you watched him, you got a way better understanding of everything that Knight did leading that offense. And like I said, pretty resilient, talented guy. He started at Oklahoma and Texas. He started at quarterback at Oklahoma and Texas A&M. That's not nothing. And he showed up at Media Days like 2 months after saying, College Station, here I come. Hi, very nice to meet you. Yeah, I'm the kid you remember from New Orleans. That was kind of weird. Now, there are so many transfers that if a coach is going to bring anything resembling his best or most interesting players or the players that you most want to have a little chat with, there's a better than fair chance it will include a newcomer. Yesterday, we're talking with James Coleman about Florida State, and I had been bouncing around, and I'd already kind of sketched out some ideas about, you know, who each school was going to bring to Media Days, and we talked Clemson. I was like, hey, who's Clemson bringing in Florida? Who's Florida bringing? Well, Florida State announced yesterday. I think we were on the air actually talking with James. Florida State announced the three players that will join second-year head coach Mike Norvell for ACC. They don't call it Media Days because they're the ACC and they're just a little better quality of everything. And my, you know what I am. I'm as Southern football as it gets. I got respect for everybody down here. But the ACC purposely does theirs as an upper crust sort of event, where the SEC, both conferences hit the market. The SEC wants that zoo. They want that, just kind of the freak show that is, whether it's the fans in the lobby, Radio Row going out into the mall, which won't be this year. They've limited it because of COVID. And hopefully the last lingering effects of it. But they want that zoo. They want that sort of not circus event, but like county fair sort of feel to it. Very loose and free, and everybody's just kind of there milling around. That's what they want. The ACC, they don't have media days. They have football kickoff. And it's not above a food court at a mall. It is normally in a highfalutin sort of joint. I've told you some of the play. They had it at Pinehurst one year. Like, yeah, that Pinehurst, because it's the ACC. The ACC is brown liquor. The SEC is Miller in cans. And that's what each conference aims at. So, the ACC football kickoff next week in Charlotte. Mike Norvell is bringing defensive end Jermaine Johnson, who has yet to play for Florida State except in the spring game. And I'm going to tell you, I will give Mike Norvell a whole lot of credit. He has a legit QB competition on his team heading into August, and he just took the whole thing gangster. Most other coaches, if there is a real legit quarterback, and I'm not talking about one guy who's the – like, I don't know that Urban Meyer would have done this, but he could have showed up with both Chris Leak and Tim Tebow. They did different stuff. Now, you'd have been bringing a true freshman. And at that point, most schools in the SEC didn't even allow freshmen to speak to the media. But you had Chris Leak, who was standing in the pocket, deliver the ball downfield, run the team, I'm the leader, I'm the senior. You had Tim Tebow, this athletic freak, who we're just going to do some stuff with. See, that wasn't a quarterback competition. That was two guys who do different stuff. FSU has announced the players that are heading to Charlotte. It's Jermaine Johnson and Mackenzie Milton and Jordan Travis. I love this. Hey, Coach Norvell, how's the quarterback competition shaping up? Ask them. They're both right there, about four tables down. Ask them. You talk about finding out something about your quarterbacks that otherwise you wouldn't have. And by the way, this is me talking. I'm not expecting either of them to have a statistically overwhelming season, and it's only partly because I think both of them are going to play a fair amount. I'm not expecting them to have a statistically overwhelming season because I think it'll feature the run more so than the pass, and that'll involve both of them, but that's not how you have statistically overwhelming seasons. That's how you have John Rhys Plumlee wind up playing more baseball than quarterback. That's not what playing quarterback in college football is about right now. It's about delivering the ball, not very far downfield a lot of times, but delivering the ball, speed in space. Get the thing out, man. So he has a real-life quarterback competition from two guys who kind of do the same thing. See, that's why it's different. Did we also see Bronco Mendenhall, who, again, I think he is as good a in several ways, the way that he chooses to approach coaching. I think Bronco is as good a coach as there is in the ACC. I mean that. In the ways that he's smart. He knows all the different ways. He's like, well, I'm going to do it this way. This is kind of my comfort zone. He hits the target as much as anybody, and it's high-quality stuff. Bronco, though, I will say, he is not the most, engaging person. He's not the most extroverted head coach. And that's fine. It works for him. He's been head coach now at two big programs. Do you know what Bronco's doing that won't get nearly as much attention? He's taking two quarterbacks to ACC Media Days as well. Difference is they're not the same guy. It's not like Jordan Travis. Hey, what does he do best? Well, he's athletic. He gets out the pocket. He may be the best. Who was it that called him? Was it Brendan Sinone, maybe? Called him the best open field runner as far as quarterbacks go in the game. Now, if that's John Rhys Plumlee playing baseball instead of football or not playing much quarterback. Okay, I'll roll with you. You know I'm better than any of us. Mackenzie Milton, he stands in the pocket and delivers it downfield. That's what he does, but he is also an athletic dude who gets around, or at least he used to, and if he's not, I don't believe he's going to be the starting quarterback. If he continues to sort of meander closer to the Mackenzie that we saw down in Orlando, okay. But regardless of any of that, it is a fair enough statement. It ain't a carbon copy. It's a fair enough statement to say, hey, these two guys, you're bringing two guys that are kind of in the same category as far as QBs. As in, they're not there to complement one another. Not really. Not like a Leak Tebow thing. Drop them into the wood chipper, man. Put them in the deep fryer. Quarterbacks. I have a buddy of mine talking about, we were talking about Major League Baseball and first baseman. And you pay him so much, you make sure he has less stress on him in the field. It's good that he plays first base. And I was like, no. My highest paid players, I want them to play shortstop, center field, catcher, pitcher. That's it. All right, you want your most important positions. You want more from the guys who play those positions, not less. And for your best players, you don't want to make it easy. Ooh, he's our best player, but he's a quarterback. There's so much stress on him. Let's move into a tight end. No. Mike Norvell is making legit use of something to help his team. He's going to find out something about how his quarterbacks – the fact that they're both there. He's going to find out there is 1% chance that they're better as a result of this. Whereas so many other coaches, they look at it the way I always have. All right, is it a reward for seniors or is it our best and most interesting players? Those have always been my two categories. There was not a third. Mike Norvell, hats off, brother. You found a way to actually use media days to potentially improve your team. We are going to take a break, come back with more of the Chuck Oliver Show live from Harris Cherokee, Cherokee, North Carolina. That's next.
Now back to Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
LSU fans look back at 2020 and they were more than a little aggravated at how things played out. Florida fans, you think they were happy with the way 2020 ended? They see it just like you and I do. The difference is they believe in their heart of hearts that the past is the past and the worst is in the rearview mirror.
Could be true. That's Josh Pate on his YouTube thing. Dan, was that him on his YouTube thing?
That is correct. Josh Pate.
Yeah, say that again.
Late kick with yes. Josh Pate.
Well, I tell you what, we talk about it every time Josh comes on this program, what he does with video. That's kind of how he bored his way into the drilled his way into the industry is with video stuff. Just does such a great job there. So that's him talking on YouTube about Florida and LSU in particular. Two teams are actually fan bases, programs that look in the mirror and go, oh, no, not the mirror, the rear view, because that's not really us you saw out there, like you're staring at a mirror. That's just us happened to be for a few games last year. That's all that is. And in the case of both programs, record-wise, you may be led to believe that that's the case. When it comes to Florida, I ask everybody who covered the team the best you could last year. And here's the weird thing. In some ways, There was better access during the season, actually, than there was during spring practice. But whatever. I've talked to people who cover the team, and I can't get – no, I was about to say I can't get consistent answers. No. I don't get consistent guesses about what happened defensively last year. I don't get consistent – it's my folks who know as much as anybody. Hey, Graham Hall, what do you think? I don't know. Hey, Edgar, what do you think? I'm not sure. Everybody. Was it COVID on defense? Was it Grantham on defense? Was it the opponents you played in an all-SEC? Well, you play A&M and talented teams like LSU and Georgia. Well, some teams are going to light you up. I just know that I have one measuring stick. Does the production at least equal the talent? Because if it doesn't, That means two things, either coaching or upperclassmen. And I'm not just talking about leadership. That's one possibility. You got an issue with leadership. The other possibility is, I'm saying, what was your recruiting like 3 or 4 years ago? Like, literally, you're missing from the upperclassmen. We don't have good enough juniors and seniors. And those are the guys who are the most physically mature. I mean, this is simple stuff most times. But with backdrop of a person-to-person transmitted deadly virus floating around, how is the production so far below the talent in Gainesville? And the consistent, I'm sorry, I don't know. When you don't know, it's easy to look at something and go, well, that was just an anomaly. That was just a one-off. That was just a weird thing that happened. When we can't explain it. If it was because of reason Todd Grantham, or because of reason, well, you don't have good leadership on, you know, the upperclassmen. If it was because you just didn't have enough talent, that stuff doesn't magically get fixed year over year. LSU, I look at that and go, yeah, I think that was coaching. And then also the attitudes, well, you know, you're either coaching it or you're allowing it. The attitudes that were kind of allowed maybe to be prevalent. And I think both of those, I know the coaching, I'm expecting the coaching to have improved. And I expect there to be more of a, let's say, LSU-focused attitude over there. That's just an opinion. Dan Matthews, how you doing today?
Oh, everything's great. And, you know, I really love the opening conversation that you had today about what Florida State is doing, because I think that's completely genius of Mike Norvell to do it, because you've got one of two options there. You can either face it head on and have the people who are going to be directly involved in the competition at the most important spot on the field, or you can send, let's just say, your starting right guard, and he's asked, and his answer to everybody is, I don't know. They're both working hard. They're both doing everything. That doesn't serve anybody. It doesn't serve him. It doesn't serve the people who are trying to do their job. And it just really is just a waste of everyone's time.
It would be as if you sent a publicist.
It's 100% it. I mean, it seriously is. Let's circle back. That's exactly what you're exactly right, Chuck. I think
it would have been, they're both positive. They're both good guys. But man, you should have seen them working all summer.
I know. Yeah, exactly. Well, the problem is we couldn't. That's the only issue. I want to take it even a step further. I think that gone needs to be the days of, well, you get our coordinators before the season. No, that's ridiculous. The college football, at least on the major level, needs to go the routine of the NFL. And for those of you that don't know the routine of the NFL, games on Sundays. Monday is the head coach. Maybe open locker room if they lose. Tuesday, that's when you get the coordinators and even other relevant assistant coaches that maybe you want to talk to, because it's a player's day off. And then the rest of the week works out the way that it does. Chuck, when you have coaches who are making $500,000 a year and have so much scrutiny placed on them, it shouldn't even be allowed for, oh, hey, I can't talk during the season. You're going to maybe have to get me if we make the Sugar Bowl or something else. That's ridiculous, and that's something else in college football that needs to change.
Yeah, you know what? Coordinators talking, players talking. College programs, I think, are about to go way outside the norm and take advantage of the interest in hearing those guys.
The king of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
There is a big difference between, oh, he can't coach, and he probably can't head coach. I want to welcome on now a good friend of the program. It is every single Tuesday, bottom of hour one, and the man is kind enough to stay for the entire rest of the hour from College Football Matrix. He is College Football Matrix. It's my good friend Dave Bartu. Dave, how are you today?
It is another beautiful Oregon July day. I mean, sunny days just never get old. Hot sunny days get old, but sunny days never get old.
Dude, I'm in the South. Don't tell me about hot. That means humid to me. That means walk to your mailbox and you got to change a T-shirt.
Oh, my gosh. Most of the listeners cannot even comprehend that when humidity hits 20 degrees around here, people start going, oh, that's terrible.
Yeah, I don't have the Pacific Ocean and a breeze coming across, you know, where I am right now. I said there's a difference between – oh, but first of all, tell everybody, you know, what you do, who you are, how to get in touch with you, because it's expanding all the time.
Oh, and we're excited. Well, did you see that text I sent you? Listener in Chicago communicating with me.
I did.
It's fun. I get, you know, when I put out my cell phone number, 503-504-8710, almost invariably, I just get conversations about college football, you know, from your listeners. Sometimes it's some of the things that we talk about, but it's great being able to communicate with the listeners. But every once in a while, too, I'll get an agent, an AD, Board of Regents. Talk to a couple Board of Regents this week about a search that's going on. That was pretty exciting. But ultimately, it's all the same thing. I tell stories with numbers.
Yep, and that the likely potential outcomes, if this person hooks up with this group or this staff or this team or this program, et cetera, and it can be coaches, ADs, players, assistants, you name it, Dave takes care of it. And you're also a businessman and doing stuff to help some maybe retired NFL players.
Well, actually, it's worlds colliding.
Yeah.
Usually that's not a good thing, right? You know, you got these two separate worlds, and been in the hemp business now for 7 years and been in college football for 10. And somehow, and maybe it was a show like this, where a former NFL player who is on the board of a retired NFL Players Association heard me talking about CBD and our hemp company. And after 2 years of searching, the retired Players Association found themselves a new partner for hemp-branded products, and it's my company. And so we just rolled it out July 1, hempforpros.com. I'm super excited about it because part of it is a piece of all the revenue goes back into programs to help former retired players, especially retired players in need, all sorts of things, the programs that they have. So really excited about hempforpros.com and the Pro Athletes Hemp Association. And it's all because of shows like this. You know, it's somehow created a network, and the world's collided, and I couldn't be happier.
It's awesome. And by the way, one time I'm actually going to talk to you. You still haven't told me. You said you got a call after a show from a sitting SEC head coach, and you never told me who. You didn't tell me what he was asking about. At some point, we're going to have that conversation. But let's get back onto the field here. And I said that there's a difference between he can't coach and he can't head coach. A guy like Derek Mason, for instance, everybody, hey, what kind of coach is Derek Mason? Everybody who's ever been in a room with Derek says he's one of the best coaches ever. Obviously, by your measuring sticks, he was at Vanderbilt. That means almost guaranteed, except for James Franklin, he's not going to look good on recruiting metrics. He's not going to look good on winning metrics. He's not going to look good on any metrics, but I know that the guy can coach. Is he in that category of just not as a head coach?
I'm not sure because it's Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, Vanderbilt is, like you said, that is a bad measuring stick to figure out if somebody can head coach or not. Or maybe it's a good one because James Franklin did do great things on the field at Vanderbilt. So maybe Derek Mason is, at best, an average head coach. You know, when you look at the results, I think the biggest thing is what he inherited was extremely good from Coach Franklin. And when he left, it wasn't there anymore. It was back to where it was from a recruiting standpoint. So the recruiting couldn't be maintained, and that could be for various reasons. The winning percentage kept dropping, and maybe Derek Mason is that kind of guy that is a really good coordinator. We see it all the time, right? I mean, we see it all the time in college football. Really good coordinator, Dana Holgorsen, not a very good head coach. So.
Is that Will Muschamp?
Could be. It could be. You know, but see, here's now the problem with Will, now that he's tasted being a head coach, is, in my experience, rare is the guy that becomes a head coach that isn't constantly fighting to try to be head coach again. That's the problem. I see so many guys, you know, Will Muschamp might be just a genius defensive coordinator brain, but if he is on a staff that isn't strong, he's going to constantly be fighting to become the head coach there, or constantly be fighting to become a head coach somewhere else. It could work for you, you know, like, for example, Steve Sarkisian. You know, I think Nick does a great job with taking former head coaches. And basically, I've never talked to him about it, but my feeling is he says, look, you can rehab yourself here. We can win a lot of football games. If you toe the line, for me, you're going to get to be a head coach again. That is a huge hook, and I think he leverages that better than anybody else. But the downside of it, if it doesn't work or somebody else tries it and it undermines the program, we saw it here in Oregon with Jim Leavitt and Mario Cristobal. As soon as they left Jim Leavitt on the staff with Mario, I told everybody I could, even on the radio, this is going to be bad. This is not going to work. And 11 months later, boom. It was separated because it wasn't going to work. So you really got to tread lightly and have a really good, strong situation if you're bringing in a former head coach that is a great coordinator.
Continuing with Dave Bartu again, College Football Matrix. I got some other coaches I want to ask you about, but I'm just going to tell you, and you apply nicknames, whatever. When he was down in Tampa, I had multiple people talk about Crazy Jim Leavitt. And I will say that since that, because I didn't know Jim Leavitt before that. He had been a DC somewhere that I remembered, but not as a head coach. And I will say since that time, since he left Tampa, the consistent feedback was he does ornery pretty good. Like, he doesn't have any problem with confrontation. Tell me what you think about him as a coach, but then as a hire, because that there can be some separation depending on a guy's personality.
Exactly. You know, now Jim is – I've never talked to Jim personally.
Okay? I haven't either.
But I've never talked to him personally, okay? My understanding is Jim is trying too hard to become a head coach again. Take that as you want, okay? As a defensive coordinator, he is really, really, really good. Really good. In fact, if you're a betting person, go look at SMU. Their win total on the board right now, I think, is 6. And I think Jim Leavitt is going to have instant win impact at SMU. Instant win impact. Now, as a head coach, I mean, he actually did, from a numbers standpoint, did a great job in Tampa. Okay? You know, I mean, if you strip away all the extraneous stuff, it was really good.
Had him ranked number 2 in America one night.
You know, I mean, he had it going on there.
Yep.
And then at Colorado, when he got hired by McIntyre, which was an excellent choice there, boom, they were in the Pac-12 title game. He went to Oregon, boom, the defense instantly turned. Now, going back to what I said a few minutes ago about it has to be the right situation. You have to have a strong culture and a strong head coach to bring the Jim Leavitt in. Well, I think at SMU you have that. Okay, because Sonny is strong. Sonny won't let Jim push him around or anything like that. Not that Jim is going to push him around, but you know what I'm talking about. There's not going to be any weakness there. Jim is, I think Jim will know his place and what his goal is. Right. You know, so I think it's kind of like I would imagine Sonny sold this to Jim, like Saban is, toe the line, win a bunch of games with me here, and I'm going to push to get you a head coach job. That's the way you got to do it. So that's what I expect to happen, but I also think it's a good situation for Jim because he is with a veteran, a strong head coach that won't let emotion and maybe his personal goals of becoming a head coach get in the way.
Yeah, it always gets better with him. You know, as far as statistically, you know, we ranked 68th, now we ranked 41st. I'm after getting better. And, I mean, I got some pretty hard bark on me, so I don't get offended easily. But I agree with you as far as the personality of the head coach. I mean, I need you to be in charge. Even if it's the wrong decision, be in charge. And I agree with you at SMU that it could be a real good fit there. All right, we're going to take a quick break, come back with more. Dave Bartow from College Football Matrix.
Always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
Our today on the Chuck Oliver Show. That's every Tuesday, bottom of hour one. We used to do this going back to maybe the 2018 season. And we did it during the season, but I realized, no, what Dave does, that's 365 a year, 366 every so often. I want to welcome you back on from College Football Matrix. It is Dave Bartow, so we go year-round with him now. All right, let's jump back into the SEC, and just on a lark, just seeing how much the conference coaches, programs have changed in the past 5 or 6 years, was looking at the SEC from a few seasons back. And that's where I was asking you about, you know, Derek Mason, for instance. Kevin Sumlin, does he get another shot?
No, I wouldn't give him one. I mean, I seriously.
As a coordinator?
Oh, gosh.
He's an oddity. He played linebacker in college, but he is an offensive guru. At least that's the advertisement.
Yeah, I would. I don't know. Just from the 25,000 foot level, It wouldn't be, if I'm a head coach, it's not an interview I'm going to take. And the big reason is not because of the career path of calling plays. It is how it ended at Arizona, which from a perception standpoint felt like he was cashing checks to end out a career there. You know, there was no recruiting. There was. He just left it a shell of what it used to be, and I think you got to be really careful there because you and I both know. I mean, these guys. Once you hit head coach, Power Five, it is generational money. You're done. Yeah. You're retired. You know. So from my perspective, I look at it as like I can't believe there's not more guys like Chris Peterson that go, dude, I've made $20 million. I'm in my 50s. I only got a few years left. Let's go have some fun.
Yeah.
I don't need college football anymore. And so with somebody like someone, look, I mean, he was at A&M, 100,000 people in the stadium, making $5+ million a year. I mean, he was at the very, very top. And at his age, is he bored? You know, is there any job that he could really do that's going to fire him up to want to be 24/7, 365 college football again? Because that's what it takes to win at college football. It's like this show.
Oh.
All college football, all the time. All the time.
Absolutely true. And it's so much – it's even more – somehow recruiting is even more important now. Talk Jim McElwain, because you said, you know, when a guy used to be a head coach, he's motivated to be a head coach again. And you're absolutely right about that in almost every case. I think Jim McElwain's one of those guys, when you've been a head coach in a place like the SEC, the Mac don't look so good. What do you think about him as far as being able to move back up the ladder a second time?
I don't know about moving back up the ladder a second time. I think what he's done is he's proven himself to be an above-average head coach overall. I think the recruiting side of it at Florida maybe was really the downfall there because the recruiting fell off, the player development fell off, and without meeting the guy, I would say the numbers indicate that he is a really good X's and O's guy. Okay, give him 11 guys, he'll go try to win a football game. But he doesn't want to recruit him. He doesn't want to have to really develop them, you know, from a weight room standpoint. You know, it's just get the guys out on the field.
I had somebody, Todd Fitch got hired, you knew this, I'm sure, from Louisiana Tech going to Vanderbilt last year. And I had a buddy of mine up in Nashville, was like, this ain't going to work. I'm like, what do you mean? He said, because when you're at Louisiana Tech calling plays, practically every Saturday you look across the line of scrimmage, and by and large, everybody kind of looks like you. He was like, when you get into the SEC, you better have players who look like the other team or you're going to get run every Saturday. And the point was that as you go down in ferociously competitive conferences, as you go down from that, the coaching matters a lot more, which goes along with what you're saying.
Exactly, exactly. So even if Jim wants to get back to the big time in the Power Five, he may be much better suited for the Group of Five. You need to be – Group of Five is your AAA head coach farm system. Okay, that's where you find the really good coaches. That's where you can find good offensive and defensive coordinators. And I would say for Jim McElwain is I think he is a very good organizer of X's and O's and trying to win football games on Saturdays. And that's great in the MAC. If that's what you're best at, that's not good enough in the SEC or the Big Ten. You have to have all the tools, not just the coaching ones.
Oh, so, yeah. You can't just chess match people in the SEC.
No. So I think he's I think he's at a really good spot, and he's obviously been successful there. I mean, his first year he won the division. I think he won the MAC outright his first year. So that was a good hire, and you know, for it's just like the coordinators that can't head coach. Some of these head coaches just can't or don't want to organize at the big boy level, and that's fine.
Yeah, just go build a career at Central Michigan. Wrapping up with Dave Bartu, get him on Twitter, at CFB Matrix. And when I say get him on Twitter, like, got a question? Go there. Ask the man. I want to bounce to the ACC because I've done the same thing, and I was really looking at programs from 5-6 years ago, but then kind of expanded it to coaches as well. Do you know where Al Golden is currently? And I'm not saying this with snark. Is there any reason you would care? As in, is Al Golden a name that you would put back on a list to explore if you got a call from an AD looking for a new head coach?
I was shocked when he was on the list to begin with, dude.
Wow.
When Miami hired him, I'm like, why? What? What? It was just one of those hires where it's like, okay, who did he know? I mean, his agent must have known somebody on the hiring committee. And there must have been some sort of connectivity there. Because there was no number on paper that said Al Golden was anything but an average head coach. Nothing. There's nothing in the offense. There's nothing in the defense. There was nothing in the recruiting. Nothing said it was above average. So I never understood the hire in the first place. That being said, having somebody with all that sort of experience that is motivated to make an impact in your program, it's a guy I'd take a look at. But from the standpoint of having him be head coach, his career overall after Miami is below average. So if I'm an AD, it's not somebody that would ever be on my 25 deep taking a look at a new head coach.
Wow. 25 deep. He's coaching linebackers for the Bengals, by the way. Did you know that?
And you know something, and that might be where he's happier in the NFL. You know, I talked to a lot of guys that have gone back and forth. I deal in the NFL now over the last couple of years. They're two different animals, and it's a good opportunity though, and that when they can find it, you know, it's just finding a fit. So Al Golden, like a lot of guys, just may be better off and happier in the NFL.
Final question, and we got about a minute and a half left. Do you have both scenarios? Hey, we need a coach. Who you got? Or, hey, we're thinking of hiring Al Golden. Tell us what you think about Al Golden or Randy Shannon or Brett Bielema or whoever. Like, do ADs come with specific names, or do they just say, we need a coach? What do you think?
It's actually a combination. When we're working with ADs, so, you know, Chuck Oliver's the AD at UCF, all right? What we don't like doing is we don't like telling ADs, here's your 10 best guys.
Yeah. You're not a search firm.
Right, where we like to present all the information. So typically what we'll do is I'll go, okay, cool, Chuck, you gotta replace your guy. He just went to Tennessee. So what we're going to do is you send me your top 10, and we're going to add our 10 best for UCF, and then we're going to send you a report. It's going to be unranked. We're not going to say who's number 1 through 15. It's just going to profile everybody with their grades, and some of them may match up. You know, yeah, we got Gus Malzahn on, you got Gus Malzahn on. Cool. So we're going to know when we matched up what we both liked on paper, and then we'll note what you liked and what we like separately. And that's usually the very, very first pass is our input plus an athletic director's input to really get a whole look at everybody both parties feel is legitimate first layer guy.
And all this happened because you were driving through the Pacific Northwest listening to Colin Cowherd one day. Is that right? So basically, the simple version?
The simple version is funny. I was actually driving in between analytics jobs. I was going from my consulting analytics at my bank job to my consulting analytics job at the hospital. And it happened to be I'm driving down Highway 5.
We got like 30 seconds, dude.
Yeah, just driving down Highway 5, and Colin's on there talking about Vegas and how they use talent to predict things. And I'm like, cool. So the next night I went home, and I started pulling up recruiting rankings in 2008, and processing talent equals national titles.
Yeah, I bet I can do that too. Dave, do it again in 7 days, brother. Thank you so much.
Later, bro. Yep.
All right, Dave Bartu from College Football Matrix.
Spring is here, and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
So, Robert, I want to thank you for your time. I just don't think you're the right person for this position.
I don't understand. Was it something I said?
Well, we did a background check on you and found some things of concern.
If you're in charge of hiring for your company, you know how helpful a background screening can be. That's why companies that use Horizon Background Screening make smarter hiring decisions. Don't let the wrong hire put your company at risk. Get the real story on your candidates at horizonscreening.com. Horizonscreening.com.